I guess it'd be mighty easy if one wanted to get discouraged these days. I don't think I've ever bordered myself on discouragement as much as I have in the last year or so. It just seems like our country is literally falling apart at the seams. They say that every civilization lasts about 200 years, and we're having our 200th birthday next year. I guess we'll be doing good to last another year. But the battle lines are drawn, and we in the 20th century in America, as sure as I'm standing here on the verge of facing what many of our forefathers faced with persecution, maybe even martyrdom. I know that you know the battle is raging. Now, at first glance, it may seem to the casual observer that the battle is between the conservative and the liberal. But that really isn't true. The battle is not between the conservative and the liberal. It's God they're after. And that's the title of my message tonight. It's God they're after. No, the battle tonight is not between the fundamentalist and the modernist. Though I certainly believe there ought to be a separation between the two. The Bible is very plain when it speaks to us about our relationship with those who have churches and stand behind pulpits but do not believe the Bible is the Word of God, nor Jesus the Son of God. We're not to yoke up with them, to have any kind of religious fellowship with them, saying that it cannot from among them be your separate, saith the Lord. But the people tonight is not between the liberal and the conservative, or the modernist and the fundamentalist. The battle, their battle, is against God. Karl Marx said, "My goal is to dethrone God." I wish folks could realize that. It's not a matter of which ideology controls or is the one the majority in a country. Communism knows no coalition government, and when it gets the majority and power enough to swallow up its co-laborers. Communism knows no freedom of religion. You show me a communist country tonight, and I'll show you a country that's not free. I have in my Bible tonight an article, and the title is "Russia Sentences Baptist Leader." A court in Ukraine has just sentenced underground Baptist leader George Vine to 5 years in jail and five more in exile within the country. Now, you know what his guilty of? Is guilty of spreading the gospel in Russia. You think we can coexist with that kind of garbage? Never on your life. Never, never, never. It says the court convinced Vans, it is, of illegal religious actions arising from his effective evangelism efforts within the USSR. Effort was made by Mission Impossible to provide Brother Vans with legal counsel, but these efforts proved frustrating and futile. Now that means in Soviet Russia, the man preaches the gospel of Jesus Christ, preaches the Bible, he's in prison for 5 years and given 5 years of exile within his own country. Without, I get this, without legal defense. Now when the communists are in the minority, they're for legal defense, legal help and aid. But when communists are in the majority, there's no legal aid whatsoever. And no one was there to defend this fellow. I have in my hand a letter tonight. I want you to hear this. It's from the Christian Legal Defense and Education Fund, Incorporated. Now, I want you to listen to this. This is what the letter says. I've not checked to see that this is true, but I want you to hear it, and obviously it is. I quote, letter to me, "Dear Dr. Hiles, I was very sad to hear Indiana has just adopted legislation directly related to children in fundamental Christian homes. A similar bill was defeated in South Carolina. Federal Guidelines, pamphlet number OHD 7420, on child abuse, orders from the Clearinghouse, National Center of Child Abuse and on Child Abuse and Neglect, room 5837, Post Office Box 1182, Washington, D.C., 20013, as I understand, they still specify, quote, either mental or emotional abuse of children, to include homes who adhere to archaic theology, which believes, now what is this archaic theology that abuses children? Listen, which believes that man is depraved, children need to be spanked, and the will of a child must be broken. Children, thus, can be removed from homes not only for physical abuse, but also for mental abuse, with such abuse being defined as fundamental doctrine. Now you listen to me. Did you know that in our state, if this letter be true, and I'm going to check on it, in our state, that means that if they so choose, they could take every child from every home in this room tonight. That means if they so choose, and by the way, that the ATW, the welfare departments of our land, are doing what they can to pass laws in every state in this union, saying that spanking a child is abuse, physical abuse, and that teaching a child that he is depraved by nature and a sinner by nature is mental and emotional abuse. And they're passing laws and forepassing laws that the children be taken out of the home to spank them and celebrate their will. Now, the honest truth is, ladies and gentlemen, the average person in this room tonight does not know how far this country's gone. There is a conspiracy in this nation to destroy everything concerning the fundamental religion and belief in a verbal inspiration of this book. There is a conspiracy underway tonight to destroy every vestige of that which you and I have come to know as sacred. The very right for you to thank your child hangs in the balances tonight in the state of Indiana. I was talking to Pastor Roger Boltman last week. He met me at the airport Wednesday and wanted to discuss with me some things about the trial. Tomorrow, his trial begins. I want you to pray for him. He told me of some of the things that have been said at the hearing. It's unbelievable. Unbelievable. Do you know why he's being tried? His principle, spank the child, or two children. The principle is being tried for thought battery. And Roger Boltman is being tried for conspiracy. Now, I said, what is your conspiracy? He said, I wrote the handbook that included spanking of the children. Now, that is being defined by some attorneys as conspiracy. Do you know what the maximum penalty you can get for conspiracy like that in the state of Indiana? 14 years in prison. A preacher less than 50 miles from where I stand tonight will go on trial tomorrow in your state and in your area of your state to go on trial for writing a handbook that says a child or to spank in school for misbehaving. Now, we're going to sit and we're going to fiddle until America's gone if we don't get excited. Now, we are. Brother, everything that is this, listen. Do you know that if this thing goes much further, our children, these girls that sang a while ago when they get married and have their own children, they will not even be able to spank them. And no Sunday school teacher will be able to stand up and say, by nature you are a sinner, by nature a person is depraved, and he's on his way to hell without God. Those men are here this morning. Friendly men. I've never known any friendlier men to come than those men here this morning from Santa Cruz, from CBS. Gracious men. Friendly men. After I got through, I went back and gave a word of witness to every one of them. And I said, I'm out of your job, is interesting. And the head man, who is a gracious fellow, said, yes, it is. He said, I get to see so many worlds I never knew existed. And I said, is this one of them? And he grinned and said, yes, it is. I never knew anything like this world out here existed. Now, this is the way I grew up. This is our way of life. I mean, it's common to us. But do you know that the great majority of people in America tonight do not know one single thing about the way of life that believes this book? And as you know, in this nation, it's getting almost to where, if you believe this book, you're a cultist. You know how you look on someone. If you saw, I guess it was the first day I saw a real live Mormon. I mean, I've heard about them. I thought a Mormon was somebody who checked in the head. Still think they are. But anyway, I saw a real live Mormon. Now, you know, folks come out here and they look at me the same way. Hey, there's a real live fundamentalist. You better know it, brother. I'm very much alive and very much a fundamentalist. And I'm very real, too, by the way. And I'm real. There he is. We had 64 Jesus people come out today. Long-haired Jesus people come out this afternoon just to get a look at that church they read about in the paper in the Tribune yesterday. I mean, they came out to see old black man Baby Vineyard over here. Now, let me show you what they're doing to make satire of the old time gospel. Now, the men, and I'm not going to preach on this crazy paper tonight, it's not worth that much attention, but there was a little, by the way, in the Tribune, it's a pretty decent paper. But that day has gone. But anyway, they came out here. I gave 2 hours and 15 minutes. I gave my books. If everybody got treated royally, they were here much, much time, and they were treated like kings and queens. Now, they saw that little boy who was an offering last Wednesday night, little fellow, what's his trouble? Has Steve Halsey. We took an offering for him. Now, they saw that little boy. Not a word about that in this article. See? I mean, they saw us with hundreds of retarded people we're trying to take care of and give a happy life. Not a word about that in this article. They saw numbers of deaf people, hundreds of them, who would have no church to attend were it not for this church. But they did not stress that in this article. They saw the rescue mission down here, where fallen men come off the streets and get a helping hand and a loving, kind handshake and food to eat and clothes to wear and shelter and place to sleep. No word about that in this article. They know, I told them, they know of people by the dozens in this room tonight who are sending poor children through Hammond Baptist Grade School, Hammond Baptist High School, and sacrificing. They know that. Not a word about that in this article. They saw last week a class for the blind where people give their lives and trying to be eyes to those who cannot see. And get the gospel to people and help the people who cannot see. Not a word about that in this article. Now, why? Listen to some of the stuff. Praise the Lord and pass the paddle. About a dozen young men stand menacingly in the aisles of the church's 5,000 feet auditorium, giving threatening glances to anyone who strays from the Reverend Vineyard's commandments. Sit up straight. Put your hands in your lap. No talking. No moving. Now, the truth is, that satire about propriety and decency, now they're going to the same crowd will go to these high school chapels, high school assemblies, where you cannot even speak without being shouted down and hooted down and having a bunch of long-haired freaks walk out on you, and they will not write one thing of satire about that. Now, we'll say further. Says that every other word to the assembled children contains a threat of spanking with a large red paddle. Every other word. That means good, I thank you. Morning, I'll get you. Boys, I'll get you before it's over. And I'm going to paddle you. That's every other word. You see, nowadays, the newspaper reporters don't even know good English and proper grammar. And it says that he concludes his pitch, and that's, of course, improper, rude satire. They have just received a heavy dose of the stringently fundamental. Amen. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Heavily patriotic. And all that over again, too. And severely authoritarian brand of religion. Amen. Praise the Lord. They hit it right on the head. And if we had more of it, we'd have less beatniks burning down banks, destroying shopping centers, and wrecking our government, and demonstrating outside the White House, and taking dope, and we'd spend our tax money on decent projects instead of having to reclaim a bunch of people who all been thankful ever since, and all had to the fire to them that take them their kids. And should have learned to be patriotic. It's a tragic shame when our country gets the place to where the thing that made our country is condemned and ridiculed and satirized. Because the Hammond Church is a leading example of a relatively new form of ministry, the bus ministry. Why, the crazy fools ought to know about Dwight Moody. He had horses and chairs picking up kids in Vegas, picking up kids in Chicago years ago. Says the Reverend Martin Marty, church historian at the University of Chicago Divinity School, recently charged that the fundamentalist big yellow bus Sunday school, that's a lie, most of ours are blue. I'm glad he's not talking about us here, aren't you? Says, are built on undercutting, I'd like to undercut every dirty liberal in this whole country if I could. I'd steal every member out of every liberal church in this world if I could. I'd profit out every member of a church that sponsors this kind of a school and the liberalism. I'd let them steal them all. And, of course, there's not many to steal. Say, I wonder what he's doing right this minute. Watching TV. Exactly. Sure he is. Sure he is. Unless he's preaching his sermon to his congregation, but his wife won't listen very long. That's what he's doing right now. You don't like that preaching. Brother, you just take it like it's shoveled out and you come here. Yes, I say. If you don't like it, we'll pardon you before you leave. God, did you ever read the Good of Sunday sermon? Well, you whitewashed the sepulchres of the Good of Sundays and crucify the ones who are alive today. I don't believe in criticizing other Christians. I'm not! You've got to read the Bible to be a Christian. It says that we're guilty of undercutting, raiding, exploiting, manipulating, misrepresenting, suppression. I don't know if we're guilty of all this stuff or not. I can't understand all these words. Constriction. Getting snakes in here now, isn't it? And other popular devices that cannot become acceptable to the rest of Christianity. Brother, when this church becomes acceptable to the University of Chicago, I hope that the tornado comes and blows this building down. How it is. A university built on sacrificial gifts of Baptist people. I'd like to. If you'd like to bet, I'd like to lay a little money on the lifespan of this church versus the one you attend. That is not the yellow bus church that's closing down these days. It's not the yellow bus church that has the sale signs on the property. The yellow bus church is buying oil into buildings. Not the yellow bus churches that are having trouble keeping the doors open. Not the yellow bus churches don't have Wednesday night prayer meetings. Not the yellow bus churches don't have church on Sunday night. Not the yellow bus churches that are dying on the vine. Everybody who interviews me who comes out here asks this question. Why is your church alive and growing while the major denominations are dying? That was an answer. That's it. Well, I'm not going to spend too much time on this topic, but we'd like to say a word here. It says Dave Hiles, Reverend Mr. Hiles, the 21-year-old son, parts on the same theme. On the same theme, in the Sunday sermon, the 700 teenagers from Chicago. The legal preacher came down here and he said we had 35 teenagers in our church last Sunday. I said, man, we got more than that in the restroom. Says, like his father, Dave's hair is totally cropped. That means they're both getting bald headed, you know what I mean? In a style reminiscent of the 50s. And the crazy guy with this, his hair looks like the year in 20. You ever see pictures of your granddad? By the way, he might have gone on back and he took the style of 50, but 50 A.D. had the same style, too. Why? What they got against them? Well, now, honestly, you had never seen a fella treat anybody more courteously than I see this fella. Could it be they don't like me? Why, they know me if they love me. What is it? What is it? And I can see them out right now. You won't believe this, but I'm in the lesson field. No joke. But anyway, why? What is it? I really is. So they don't dislike me. Really, I mean that. And they don't dislike them. They hate our God. They hate our God. You know why? They don't know it. They're just dupes of the communistic philosophy. They went to some school and sat under some fella like this nut over here that made these statements about the yellow buses and so forth. And they sat there and swallowed hook, line, and sinker what he said. And they don't know it. They don't even know they're communistic in their philosophy. They're just dupes of the communist conspiracy. That's all. He didn't know. He said, you're a communist. Well, God will hit you. He wouldn't. He hates communism. He thinks that he embraces that kind of philosophy. Why? Communism, with all the fear, is dedicated to pulling down God from his throne and taking the Bible and burning it and getting the Bible. Why? Because God is a competitor to communism. The communist says, the state will control your life. And anything that comes between you and the state, or comes above the state, as far as authority over you is concerned, they hate it. And that's why they hate the Christian, they hate the home. And that's why they hate the little authority. And that's why they're going to try to take our children from our homes, because we have authority over them. And you lock it down, brother. Listen. In this room tonight, there's a young man. Pardon me. He's not a young man. He's a young yellow cow. That's what he is. He's right here tonight. His mom tried to scold him recently, and he said, I'll go see the child advocate. Young man, you are a punk and a bomb. Now, why is this? There's a young lady in this room tonight. Pardon me. A young female in this room tonight. You see a first-rate, demonized fit and several times. She was taken to a hospital in this area, and they gave it to a child advocate. And this young girl is not even dry behind the ears yet. She's still not even grown enough to obey her mom and dad. And this little premature, not full-grown Jezebel of a girl who was acting that night, and she's alive tonight, probably, she went, and the child advocate said to her, you don't have to go to that First Baptist Church of Hammond. That's what the first thing back to me. Doesn't matter what your mom and dad said. You don't have to go. You and I are paying taxes. And that tax money is being used to employ people to tell our children we can't tell them where they go to church. And that's from hell. If aren't you afraid to think like that? I'm afraid not to think like that. I mean this. I'll take this coat off. And I'll let them shoot me right through the heart. They can put me on the guillotine. They can put me in the electric chair. I am not, I will not, I shall not live with the authority that rejects this Bible
without fighting, the last ounce of breath I have for the right for our children to be reared, what this Bible says we ought to be reared. Somebody, what is it, somebody? We're going to have to cry aloud across this nation. And if we had a 10,000 preachers who'd say exactly what I'm saying tonight, some of these crazy things would listen to us. So that's a great notice. Now, we face them seriously, and you don't believe it. You don't know. You maybe won't believe it, but it's too late. I can tell you that many homes right there. The people sitting in this room tonight whose children have been taken from their homes and placed in foster homes because the authorities said they were spanking their children too hard. I said then, it's God directed. I'm going to show you. It's God directed. Let's just not a spanking children. Let's just look at the Bible. Turn your Bible to Proverbs chapter 15, verse 24. Let's just see the Bible. Proverbs 13, verse 24. I want to know, before I read it, what this article says. I love you, says the Reverend Mr. Venus, that every other word to the assembled children contains the threat of a spanking. I love you, Mr. Venus said. Then they said, but every other word contains the threat of a spanking. Now what they're saying is that if you love a child, you won't threaten the spanking. God says in Proverbs 13:24, he that spareth to abroad hateth his son. But he that loveth him chasteneth him to time. So this is society says, and this author, writer, reporter says, you have to love the child and not thank him, or hate him and thank him. God says you hate him if you don't thank him. That's still in purpose. Proverbs 22 and verse 15. Proverbs 22, 15. Foolishness is bound in the heart of a child, but the rod of correction shall drive it far from him. Drive what, foolishness? Foolishness is found in the heart of a child. How do you get foolishness away from a child? The rod of correction. Look at Proverbs 23:13. Withhold not correction from the child, for if thou beatest him with a rod, he shall not die. Thou shalt beat him with a rod. Now, by the way, I've never one time what I would call beat one of the children, any time. But the Lord uses the word beat. Thou shalt beat him with a rod and shall deliver his soul to hell. What does that mean? That means when you spank a child, you teach a child that sin is punished, that wrong doesn't end right, and that wrong in the end hurts. When you don't spank the child for doing wrong, you teach that child that wrong does not smart, wrong does not hurt, and wrong does not turn out bad. That means that if a child does wrong, he's not spanked. He does wrong, he's not spanked. He does wrong, he's not spanked. That means he'll not realize he's a sinner. That means he'll not realize he's on his way to hell. That means he'll not realize that Jesus died for sinners. That means when he hears the gospel, he'll not believe the gospel, and you go to hell because he didn't thank him. That's what the Bible says. I dare you to check and compare the saved people who don't thank with the unsaved people who don't thank. What am I saying? Listen, I'm saying, if you want your child to go to hell, I mean to die and go to hell and live in torment forever, you just spoil that little brat, never turn his bottom, and never let him know he's boss, and never let him know that doing wrong is punished by the rod and chastening. And you're a good-for-nothing, shiftless, cold cat who will bring your coat to you and break your heart someday. Listen, it looks like anybody ought to go to hell if a dirty doctor's stock philosophy is not working in this country. We've got more problems we can afford with taxes to correct. Let me ask you a question here. According to these verses, what does God say? God says, thank the child. God says, thank the child. Let me just read for you one other passage. The rod and the truth give wisdom. But a child left to himself bringeth his mother to shame. You take these kids around the country with long hair, shaggy hair, the W university students, and see them what they feel, what they think about their moms and their dads. Broken-hearted mothers all over this nation. Poor, broken-hearted, tired fathers who toiled and labored for their lifetime to help their children go to college. They sent them off to college generation. Unusual lifetime. And their hearts are broken. And you lock it down tonight. You better listen to me. You better get a hold of your children while there is hope. And let them know that when they do wrong, you say, well, I love them too much to thank them. But God says you hate them. And you are the same crowd I'm talking about tonight. God says, thank them. God says, don't thank them. And this communist society is God director. Is God director. Let's take the subject of depravity of man. Let me read the passage without referring to it because of time. You know, a little while ago, it said that you're not supposed to teach the children that it pays. They're wicked, Psalm 58:3. They're wicked or estranged from the womb. They go astray as soon as they be born, speaking lies. One liberal said to me, said, now, wait a minute there, Reverend. Anytime they say Reverend, I know they're liberal. Wait a minute there, Reverend. Now, wait a minute. Wait a minute. A little child that can't talk. I bet you he never had a baby. I bet you he never knew a little infant. Why, a little child, the minute he's born, starts lying, holds his breath and turns purple. His little mind, he says, well, since I'm dying, I'll get my way. The rascal, he's got a little button, he pushes somewhere, it's called purple. He pushes the purple button and turns purple, and down inside, he's saying, I'll get. And here's what it is. You just let that little rascal lie there in bed for a while and see. He won't stay purple very long. He lies. He lies. Try to feed him some food they don't like. Stick it in the mouth and watch it, right back up. Scrape it off and right back up. Sure. The Bible says, man is depraved. The modern society says, a child is not defective, and they'll take the child out of our home. The thing that makes me mad is, well, I'm paying the salary of those dirty buzzers. You say, why do you call them dirty buzzers? I always call dirty buzzers dirty buzzers. Humanism. Let's take the matter of homosexuality. The other day, a guy called me on the phone. I returned his call. And he said, hello, Reverend. Would you marry me? And I said, I can't marry you. I haven't even met you yet. And he had the audacity to tell me that he was going to marry another male. And he wanted me to perform the ceremony. Can you picture that? Can you picture me saying, give me the life of your God here in the presence of God and these two witnesses? Do you not this, whatever it is, to this, whatever it is? And now, whatever you are, when you take whatever this is, to be whatever you think it is. And now, whatever you are, when you take whatever this is, to be whatever you think he is, or it is. And now, I pronounce you whatever you are, whatever you are. And is that what they wanted me to do? Now let's see what God says. And by the way, you know, I don't think Mr. Ford is sissy. I mean that. I think he's a human. He's an athlete, played football, played golf. I think if he had a wrestling match or a boxing match with Mrs. Ford, I think he could win 2 out of 3 rounds. He's a man that's not to be hoodwinked by her ERA foolishness. homosexual marriages. Here we are advocating and passing law for the rights of homosexuals. Thank God for these policemen that won't ride in a police car with other homosexual policemen. Man, wouldn't you hate to call a cop and have him come with his purse to defend you? So come on, you brothers, you get out of there now. Oh, brother. God says, therefore God also gave them up to uncleanness through the lust of their own hearts, to dishonor their own bodies between themselves. Who changed the peace of God into a lie, and worshipped and served the creature, made the creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. For this cause God gave them up for vile affection. For even though women did change their natural youth, so that was against nature. My Bible says, God says, it is vile affection. And now we have laws saying that any sexual act between two consenting adults is okay. It may be okay with the rest of humanistic, communistic, socialistic even, but it's not okay with God Almighty. But it's because God gave them up to vile affection, for even the rest. And likewise also the men, leaving the natural view to the woman. Bring them in lust one for another. Men with men working that which is unseemly, and receiving in themselves that recompense of their error. God says error! Let me tell you tonight, if you're here tonight and you have some of this room, if you're living in homosexuality, you knock it down. God Almighty thunders out his orders, his power and judgment against that kind of thing. And you let this permissive society give you the rights of your gay barber shops and your gay massage parlors and your gay prostitutes and all the rest of it. If you knock it down, there's a God in heaven that hates that kind of garbage. And God, if someday will judge you for your rotten filth and wickedness. Man says it's okay. Our government says it's okay. Our university says it's okay. God says it's all wrong. God be after. Anybody who reads the verses, I just read, will know that God is against homosexuality. So it's God be after. Take the matter of capital punishment. Be after God on that too. Just as plain as the nose on your face. Genesis 9:6, whoso sheddeth man's blood, by man shall his blood be shed. For in the image of God made he man. If you can't understand that, you need to go back to kindergarten. Whoso sheddeth man's blood, by man his blood shall be shed. Also there's saying in Exodus chapter 21 and verse 12. He that smiteth a man, so that he die, shall be surely put to death. I sat one day, Sunday afternoon, in a hall over here in Lansing. I sat in the living room with a couple who did our services. Their daughter was one of the seven nurses killed by Mr. Speck. You know, if our nation and our court had taken that thing and followed God's plan, you know, thousands of murders would have been avoided in America. After Mr. Speck was allowed to live, when he was supposed to be killed upon the word of God, you shall have been taken alive. Yet, see, once again, you're just like the other anti-God crowd. It's God you're against. And they said our daughter was killed at the hands of Mr. Speck. Let me read you a verse. I haven't looked at it in a long time. I hope I can find it. I'll read you a verse to show you that there's a big problem in America. Because sentence, Ecclesiastes 8:11, because sentence against an evil work is not executed speedily. Did you get that? Because sentence against an evil work is not executed speedily. Therefore, the heart of the sons of men is fully set in them to do evil. Why do men do evil? Because sentence against an evil work is not executed speedily. That's why. God says, capital punishment is right. The Tradition Society says it's cruel.
I don't know what's cruel. It's cruel. You know, a bunch of lawbreakers run up and down this country not being punished, so other lawbreakers can take courage in the fact that they've not been punished, and it's the place now where our streets are unsafe and our girls are almost unsafe in their own front yard. How about the ERA? They're after God again. They're saying what God says about the ERA. They're saying. I read it to you. 1 Corinthians 11:3 says, but I would have you to know that the head of every man is Christ, and the head of the woman is the man, and the head of Christ is God. Can you figure that out? Anybody figure that out, that will read it. Listen to that. For a man indeed ought not to cover his head, for as much as he is the image and glory of God, but the woman is the glory of the man. For the man is not a woman, but the woman is a man. Neither was the man created for the woman, but the woman for the man. Does not even nature itself teach you that if a man have long hair, to shame in the head? But you know what? You folks, you know us tonight that have long shaggy hair, or you don't know it, but you're dupes of the communist conspiracy of this sort of country. Yes, you are. And you females that have flats at home that you're out in public, you don't know it. You don't know it. But you're a part of a system. That's your life, and I'm preaching against sin. You're part of the system. You have fallen first. But you say, I feel so much better inside. God doesn't say you're supposed to wear what you feel better in. God tells you what to wear. And God tells you pleasure. Just one sect, one race, one religion, one government, society. You're getting this over already for the coming of the Antichrist, and it's time God's people decided to be different in the pagan world. Listen, there's a fellow in this room tonight, Chicago ghetto, I guess, gangland type kid. One of our young ladies out listening on the bus route. He walked up and invited, this was supposed to come to show up, God was supposed to come to church. And this little kid, just before, he was born. He was around and said, now I'm not going to go. He looked at her again. She had a dress on. She was sweet and feminine. And he told me, he said, I felt like I was looking at the Virgin Mary. Now, of course, you know what his background is. But he meant that as the highest compliment he said. He said, of course, I'll go. And that young man came to this church. And he came and was converted and baptized and now is a faithful Christian. Because he looked at one of our young ladies and saw purity and sweetness and decency. And don't you kid yourself, young ladies. The most vulgar-minded men as well as the best most pure-minded men in this world like a young lady is a young lady. I mean, they don't want to get married and get up in the morning and go to work and find they got their wife's bitches on and stay there on. You say, I ain't sitting wrong as I'm flesh. I know you're just the same kind of crowd. I mean, you've fallen through. And that's one of the things wrong with this Christian generation. And that is, if our hair is not down to here, we just have it down to here. But you wouldn't have it down to here if in fact that you weren't willing to be different. Man, why? Young lady, what did I do for you? Everywhere I went, I'd be as proud of my long skirt as a marine is of his uniform, as a paratrooper is of his wings, or as a pirate is of his apron. I brought down a suit, and when they laughed at me, they're only laughing derisively. The truth is, they admire you. And you young men that have your hair close to the crop like Dr. Howes and Dave Howes. Then listen to the 1950s. I might also say that decency is in the list of the 1950s, too. I might also say that safety walking down the street is in the list of the 1950s, also. I might say that patriotism is in the list of the 1950s, also. If you young men that take their hair off, don't feel like something! Stand up straight! Wear your hair proudly! Close lip cut like men ought to wear their hair. You're thankful for your heritage and thankful for how you stand and
thankful for your Christian conviction and grateful that you stand for the Word of God and not with those that disbelieve and make fun of the Word of God. There's a lot of folks are hungry for what I'm preaching tonight. But it happened to me a while ago. Where's that family? Bear. The Bear family. Who's what they? Massachusetts. Now, that is the most liberal section of this nation. And he took that one of my faith. Can you imagine one of my faith? And he played it in his house school. Can you imagine this faith being played in the high school in Massachusetts? And he played it. And so he said, tomorrow I'll play the other side. I had a friend on each side. And the word got around until they overflowed that classroom the next day. Why? I don't know why. There's not a young person in this country that doesn't hunger in his heart to hear a voice of authority. Not a one. Not a one. I don't care who they are. They might have the longest hair and be the biggest rebels, but they're hungry. And that's why they're like they are. There's nobody to put them down. There's nobody to say, this is what we're going to do. And so there's nothing left but for them to run their own life. God says, you are a reward. Mr. Society says it's okay. God says capital punishment is right. Mr. Society says it's wrong. God says homosexuality is sin. Mr. Society says it's just the way of life. God says that man is depraved as soon as he's born. And this is society says, you preach that, we'll take your kids away from you. God says thanking is a proof of love. And this is society says, you either thank or you love. Is God thereafter when 60% of our teenagers, did you hear me? 60% of our teenagers have had sex relations at the high school poll. Is God thereafter when, did you know they've taken some of your tax money and my money and appropriated your tax money and my money for the spreading of birth control devices to the boys in our public schools and in our public schools? You're paying for that. You're in the business, your money. I mean, you go out and you work hard and you sweat and with the sweat of your brow make your money. And they're taking it and using some of your money to buy birth control devices for high school boys and stuff. Is God thereafter? And nearly 60% of our high school students in America have already gotten drunk at least one time. Is God thereafter when nearly all of the adults in America drink liquor? And Proverbs 20 verse 1 says, wine is a mocker, strong drink is raging. He says, you see, their eyes not wild. Did you know in the state of Illinois just the other day, they passed the law that now the school teacher may answer any question on sex asked to the student? Did you know now that a student has, and I saw it on television, my student stands up and says, teacher, would you explain masturbation to me? Did you know that teacher now stands up before the class and has a discussion on masturbation? Yeah, keep on sending your students to that school, moms and dads. Just keep on. Yeah, the schools are not all as bad as Brother Howell said. The truth is, the schools are twice as bad as Brother Howell said. God thereafter. Thereafter this gift. And brother, their issue is not with you and me, their issues are this gift. They are part of a conspiracy that hates this gift because this gift is against their humanistic philosophy. And they don't know it, but they are tools and boots in the hands of Karl Marx. And he said, my goal is to dethrone God. Sad. We stop it. Now what can we do? What can we do? Let me just give you a few practical things. In the first place, moms and dads, you better get mighty close to your kids. Mighty close to your kids. You better get to the place where your kids would rather have you thank them than anybody else pat them on the back. You get close to them. And don't you ever be guilty of getting mad and in a fit of temper thanking your child. You thank them deliberately and lovingly. Tell them why you spank them, take an ordeal out of it, and tell them you love them. When you get through spanking them, have a prayer with them. I would advise you very strongly, and I say this just because I am not, this is just what I believe, I would advise your moms and dads to use your hands when you spank and not anything else. See, they love to do what they do better than you.
throw a big paddle. They didn't show the little children saying, we love you better than this. They didn't show the time, 12 million times, he's taking that last dollar out of his pocket and giving it to some poor family in Chicago. They didn't show that. He gives more money to people that are down and out and helps more poor people in a week than those folks do in a lifetime. A whole lifetime. They don't show that. They don't show all the money and all the help and all the power and all the work that goes in such life. It's God they're after. They're after our God. And then I say, give it all you got to Christ. All you got. I close with this. On Saturday night, we had our high school graduation banquet for our seniors, juniors and seniors. Had over in Illinois in a big motel. Then I drove over at 10 o'clock to say a few words to the kids. I walked in, turned to the left to go down the hallway and upstairs to where they were meeting. I heard a wild party going on downstairs, underneath the room where our kids were meeting. And I walked over and looked inside. Another high school was having a graduation get-together. Look at them. Boys and girls, the age of these boys down here, girls here, drunk. Liquor flowing like a river. A band or an orchestra won. And they're playing the kind of stuff that you and I would have played if we were trying to depict the way that the heathen pagan tribes of Africa have a war done. And children that God loves as much as he loves I. And they're ministers. And letting all this drunk. Giving sexual gyrations and bumping each other in the most sacred parts of the body. I just walked in, sat around the table, and watched what's happened to my country. Sad thing about it is, that's what's going on in most of the high schools across this nation tonight. My country and yours. I left that wild, heathen, pagan, godless, and by the way, that's the kind of thing that these people say is a normal American home. They don't take you out of that. Kids out of those homes. Parents can go out and live in prostitution and they won't take their kids away. Men can come home drunk at night, 3 o'clock in the morning, they won't take their kids away. They're not trying to help the kids that are there. It's just God they're after. I walk up there. Just as different as daylight and dark. Everything nice looking, fancy. Boys with decent haircuts and girls who are dressed modestly and sleepy. They did look like angels that dropped down out of the sky. And I looked around at our kids. The first thought I had was, it is worth it. It is worth it. It is worth it. I said a few words. We talked about the Lord, sang songs about God. We could hardly hear. Because the noise is coming from down the room underneath him. In that wild, sex-oriented, nearly orgy downstairs. I left and I walked back down and peeped in again. I just got this letter I read you a while ago about our state of Indiana legislature. I just got it that morning. I just talked about your vote on Wednesday. I walked out and I stopped to think. How many times is that picture in there, that wild party being reproduced across America tonight? And how few times had that square picture been reproduced? I got in the car, crying like a baby. And I said, reckon our kids didn't have a chance at all. I drove away and then I turned around and came back. Just drove a few hundred feet away. I got out of the car and went over next to the building as close as I could get to the room where I could sit. took off my coat and doubled up my fist and looked toward hell. And I said, "Devil, you may get those kids up there in that room, and you may get to fix back your sick kids, but you've dead sure got the fight of your life before you do it." And they will come, and they'll take our kids away. I'll throw you in the jail. But then they'll come when I'll be on fire. And then they'll come when you'll have to say goodbye to me as I go off the penitentiary. I'll tell you one thing. In the front of my head, the sole of my feet, I'd still rather be dead than rest. Let us pray. Our Heavenly Father, while we still can, we've got to make all the noise we can. While there's still freedom enough to do it, we've got to preach it. As Dr. Rice says, we've got to hit the ball while we still have the bat in our hand. I pray you speak to our people now. We got some folks in this room tonight living half in, half out. We got some folks in this room tonight robbing you, not even giving you tithes and offerings. We got some folks in this room can't wait to get home so they watch a better show on television. I pray you speak to our people. Help us to give it all. All we have. All we have. Our heads are bowed and our eyes are closed. What are you doing for God tonight? Huh? Are you fiddling while America burns? Huh? And you folks tonight ought to come clean to God. And you are letting this old left-wing world change you. You're copying your standards, your life, and your language, and your music, and your hairstyle, and your clothing. That's this old mob even world. I wonder how I would get out tonight. There aren't the moms and dads. Well, to say that again, I'm not close enough to my kids. I'm not close enough to my kids. If the moms and dads want to say to the house, I've been guilty of not loving my kids enough to discipline them. While I heard you that, I wonder who's sitting out with a house somewhere along the trail tonight, God spoke to me. Somewhere in the message, God tapped me on the shoulder and said, "You ought to improve that thing." Would you lift your hand, please? All over the building. All over the building. You can lock your hand. Now, if you ought to come to the altar, you did. You need to come. It's yours. You use it. Just tonight, you're here and you've never received Christ as your Savior. I want you to come down the aisle. We'll have some men here that will talk to you at the front and show you how you can go to heaven when you die. If you can save but not baptize, we'll baptize you now before you go home. And you have to take care of it. If you need to join this church, and I'll be honest with you, brother, a lot of you folks listening tonight ought to get out of these pink churches you belong to. And if Mr. Chicago University wants to call that proselyting and cooking, okay. Okay, but you ought to get out of those churches. You ought to get your kids in the church where this kind of preaching is a norm rather than something that's a freak of nature. You need to join the church tonight. If you're saved, there's a way you can join. You can follow. Father, bless the invitation. It's yours. Bless us. Amen. Shall we stand, please? The choir's going to sing. If you need to come, here's the altar, here's the altar. If you need to come and be saved, to get baptized, or join the church, you come to one of our men and meet you at the front. But do it now as the choir sings. Come on.